Christian, greetings everyone to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website's at www.remnantofgod.org. This broadcast is going across the globe on both AM and FM radio frequencies as well as micro broadcasters across America. If you are using satellite radio, we can be found on Galaxy 13, Transponder 16, Audio 7.70. If you want to listen online, you can go to WWFAR.com. That would be five W's in a row because you got the www.wwfar.com. And click the listen button on the left side of the screen. If you need any additional information to what AM and FM frequencies to tune into, please stop by the website and click the antique radios on the main page at remnantofgod.org. The phone number to call in is 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance or a cell phone, please use 559-733-5161. If you're listening online to the broadcast at firstamendmentradio.com, using dial-up, and you don't have access to a second phone, I invite you to join me at the website at remnantofgod.org. Once there, click the silver microphone on the main page and follow the prompts. Not to the public room tonight, though. We got a little bit of a problem. One of the servers are down. So what you get, well, it's not down, but there are some security problems on it. So what you'll have to do is, instead of going to the public room, when you get to the audio chat section of the site, just scroll to the bottom. There's a new room called Daniel and Revelation Room. You can get in there. And if you have any questions or comments you want to share, you can do it right there, live. Well, there'll be a few second lag, of course, but anyway, let's get right to it. It is indeed a troubled-filled time we live in now that nations are rising against nations. However, it's nothing new, as many that study history are already aware. One thing may surprise you, though. The true terrorist may not be who you think it is. One can see without a doubt that the Muslim is one who seeks to kill as many Christians as he can because of a preconceived idea of what their faith entails. However, do you realize what a Muslim defines as a Christian? The Roman Catholic Church. That's right. Like many others in the world, they look to the Roman Catholic Church as a global example of Christianity. Simply because Rome has hidden certain historic facts or just plain lies about their past to the people and then proclaims Christ as Lord. Yet, when a true Christian with eyes that see looks upon this organization in Rome, they can plainly see it for what it is, the true terrorist of all time. Hitler learned much from this entity, as anyone with a competent knowledge of history can see. I was listening to the broadcast just before this broadcast on First Amendment Radio, and they were making mention of this fact as well. Recently, numerous facts concerning Hitler's connection with the Vatican has been surfacing in numerous areas. There's a website, reformation.org, that you can check out. There's an Inquisition page, and some of the pictures aren't much that you would want to have little kids look at. The Mafia itself is structured exactly as the Vatican, especially in regards to how they carry out a hit, for example. The boss always gets someone else to do the dirty deed. All the murderous cultists have learned their very effective control tactics from this church as well. On my Six Signs of a Cult page in the RCC Exposed section of the website at remnantofgod.org, you can easily see how Rome does exactly as the cults do today. Well, the truth is, Rome did it first. They're just copying their mother. Is this why the Muslims attacked the Twin Towers? If that's in case what actually happened, but we all know that there are some problems with the Muslims and how they don't much care for the Christians. As a matter of fact, I can't find it right now. I got a friend of the ministry from Canada sent me some pictures from it's called Paris Watch magazine. And it's all in French, it's French to me, so I can't understand a word it says there, but there's pictures. And in these pictures, they show some photographs of some young man that came into some small town looking for work, because he couldn't find any work where he was at, and the town was nothing but Muslims, and he was a Christian. And they showed how, like, three or four pictures as they're beating him and chasing him with mobs with sticks and knives and all this other stuff. And in the last picture, they show him on the ground in the fetal position holding his head, and they're beating on him, and one of the guys have a machete about 6 to 9 inches already in the man. They killed him. Because they have a preconceived idea of what Christianity is. Is this why Islam hates the USA and its people? Do they believe that the USA is a Catholic nation simply because most of us call ourselves Christian? I mean, think about the simplicity of that statement for a moment, and if you will. Most for most places in the world, the only definition of Christianity is, in fact, Roman Catholicism. And as you are about to hear with a few quotes that I have to share, Roman Catholicism has a very graphic history of being very murderous towards anyone that does not embrace her so-called Christian doctrine. This is a major reason Muslim hates Christians and anybody else. They think we did what the Roman Catholic Church did to them. Ask them and see. I have run across a few Muslims lately online that truly believe all Christians are Catholics and are therefore worthy of death because of what they think Christians do to them in the past. And thanks to Catholic history, they also think Christians burn people at the stake, boil them in oil, skin them alive, or bury them alive. Because the Roman Catholic Church has done this and has admitted to doing this on March 12, 2000 in the Pope's globally broadcast Mea Culpa. Since Rome calls itself a Christian church, they assume all Christians do as this true terrorist in Rome has done throughout documented history. But, by the way, is there a connection between Pope John Paul II's Mea Culpa of March 12, 2000 and September 11th event soon after? No one can say for sure yet, but time will most assuredly tell, as it always does anyway. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not defending Islam or their evil religion by any means. It's an evil and corrupt religion that has allowed Satan himself to direct their every move. Their Quran is filled with suggestions to kill the infidel all throughout it. Truth is, Muhammad urged his followers to use a sword in one of their books called Surah 8, verse 65. He was considered sinful, as Surah 47:19 declares, and he taught revenge, as Surah chapter 2, verse 194 proclaims. Like Catholicism, Islam uses force to get people to convert to the Islamic faith. You can find that out in Surah 9, verse 29. However, the Roman Catholic Church has a far more extensive past when it comes to killing the heretic, as we are all aware. By the way, not only do Muslims believe all Christians are Catholics, Anglicans now believe this as well. Notice this article. It's not that old, just a couple of years old, June 21st, 2002, headline. Anglican primate calls John Paul II spiritual leader of Christianity. Vatican City Zenith Organization reporting, which is a Catholic publication. Archbishop George Carey of Canterbury, primate of the Anglican Communion, called John Paul II the spiritual leader of the whole of Christianity. Well, I rebuke that statement in Jesus' name. The Pope could no more be the leader of the Christian world than Tammy Faye Baker could be the leader of those seeking the natural look. The Roman Catholic Church has proven to me and many other people, both good and evil alike, that it is a very evil and dangerous cult. It has not only been proven to be extremely evil, it has also been proven to be the one government on earth that seeks global dominance. The desires of the Vatican is what most mad scientist movies are made out of. And the strange, as well as 100% accurate prophetic fact of all this is, Rome has gotten all the nations to agree with her desires, regardless of how extreme they appear. Especially the United States itself. In fact, Rome flaunts that so-called domineering power all over with pride. Check this out. From the Western Watchman, a Roman Catholic publication, a Catholic priest by the and editor David S. Phelan said, and I mentioned this article last week, but it bears repeating. It says, why, if the government of the United States were at war with the church, we would say tomorrow, to hell with the government of the United States. And if the church and all the governments of the world were at war, we would say, to hell with all the governments of the world. Why is it the Pope has such tremendous power? Why, the Pope is the ruler of the world. All the emperors, all the kings, all the princes, and all the presidents of the world are these altar boys of mine. Such arrogance. I mean, does this not depict the mind of a madman? Yet, they are in positions of power now, just as prophecy said they would be. So many fear these men, and sadly, the only reason they fear them is because they have no faith in Christ to protect them from men such as these. Not too long ago, the Vatican released the following article. Headline, Religion can't justify hostility, John Paul says. This is a papal message to the World Conference on Religion and Peace back in 2000, November 29th. Again, Zenith Organization is reporting. Religion is not and must not become a pretext for hostility, John Paul II said in a message sent for the 30th birthday of the World Conference on Religion and Peace. Faced with the pressing problems of today's global society, all religions must feel called to fresh efforts to cooperate in order to promote human life and its dignity, to defend the family, to alleviate poverty, to bring about justice, to help to preserve the ecosystem of our earth. This is hard for me. Like when they use the term Holy Father in articles, this really, I hate putting this on my website, these kind of words, when they say the Holy Father concluded. If you go to John chapter 17, when Jesus Christ himself is praying to his Father in heaven, he calls him Holy Father. This is one of the marks of blasphemy, a man claiming to be God on earth. The term Holy Father is for God and God alone. But yet they call this Pope. I mean, the media calls him this. Tom Brokaw calls him this. Everybody calls him the Holy Father. All the world wonders after the beast. But continuing, this so-called holy, or better yet, unholy father concluded, collaboration among the different religions must be based on the rejection of fanaticism, extremism, and mutual antagonisms, which lead to violence. We are aware of the importance of education as a means for promoting mutual understanding, cooperation, and respect. Is this not the pot calling the kettle black? I mean, the Roman Catholic Vatican is without a doubt the most violent organization ever known to man. Literally. Check the history books and see for yourself. It's not something that's worthy of debate. We know this. This is history. Even the Pope admitted it because he knew people will find out now, thanks to the onset of the invention of the Internet. Thanks to, what was that guy's name that invented it? The running mate of Clinton? What was his? Gore, yeah. Didn't he say that he invented the Internet? But anyway, the Pope is aware, just as well as his PR men, that even folks that are living in a cardboard box, if you will, bless their hearts. Let's say they're even living in a cardboard box. They can step into a library without a dime in their pocket and go up to a computer for free and get online and find these things out now. So they had to admit. The PR is obvious. They had to admit for public relations. This is the one and only entity all throughout history that killed Christians with a zeal. The Vatican not only taught Hitler how to kill, they make him look very small in comparison to their history. Yet the Pope declares that religion can't justify hostility. The Vatican made this statement in the year 2000, yet in 1991 the Vatican reinstated what history records as the number one cause for violence, extremism, antagonism, fanaticism, torture, and yes, even death. The Inquisition. They changed its name. February 1991, it became the Holy Office. And John Paul II was instrumental in its revival. Can you see what's happening here? In the previous article I shared, the Pope states the new religion of man is one that must be based on rejection of fanaticism, extremism, mutual antagonisms, which lead to violence. History proves that it was Rome that did all these things in the past, and yes, it did lead to violence. 500 million died over the course of 1,260 years, according to Fox's Book of Martyrs. And can any one of you imagine who will be tagged the fanatics and the extremists that lead to violence today? The true Christian, of course. We will become the troublers of Israel, as was Elijah. And praise God for that. And many of us will go to our deaths simply because the Bible we use and preach will be considered an extremist method by which violence can erupt. You don't believe me? Check out what's going on in Canada. It's against the law to use a Bible if you're speaking to a homosexual. You'll get 5 years in prison for it. Look what happened in Chicago a few years ago. Some Baptist preachers wanted to go door to door. They said, nope, can't do it. You might cause some violence to erupt. Your hate speech is not allowed. Hate speech? This is the Bible we're talking about, folks. You never thought this would happen in your lifetime, huh? And guess what? They will use Rome's past as an example against us to solidify their case against us. The Vatican speaks out of both sides of its mouth simply because it is the home of Antichrist and it is the author of confusion. The word Babylon means to mix. The Bible clearly declares plainly that Satan was cast to this earth in Revelation 12. Are we that naive on this planet not to recognize where he has set up shop? He had to do it somewhere, right? The Vatican not only holds most of the riches and artwork of the world within it, it also holds every satanic symbol known to man displayed on its walls, ceilings, and floors throughout. I mean, ask any Satanist or witch or even pagan. Show me some of your symbols. And then go to my website and check out my Horror Babylon Revealed one-hour flash animation. You'll find all them symbols there. Plus, every evil thing that can be imagined to do against the true follower of Christ has been invented within the walls of this very building in Rome. Ask any masochist where most of his research originated regarding methods and techniques for torture. If they're honest with you, and if they have done their homework, they will find a grand majority of torturous techniques originated with the Vatican. On November 29, 2000, the Pope publicly lies and says we should allow our other religions to coexist. Yet just 6 months later, we see this happening in Mexico with his approval. Headline: Evangelicals give an ultimatum in three towns. Where does it start here? Okay, local authorities in three small towns in different Mexican states have told evangelical Christians to change their religion to traditional Catholicism or suffer the consequences, threatening them with jail, expulsion, the removal of public services such as water and drainage, and even death. In San Nicolas, and I can't pronounce the other word they got here, it starts with an I and has an X right next to it, and it goes on from there. In San Nicolas, and next in the central Mexican state of Hidalgo, a June deadline is fast approaching on an ultimatum given to 230 evangelicals to renounce their faith or be expelled from their homes in the community. State and federal government officials have been unable to resolve the conflict. Meanwhile, the evangelicals must obtain water from private sources and have no drainage services. The case has attracted wide publicity in Mexico City press. In the more southern states of Oaxaca, it looks like, the town of Arroyo Arena, San Lorenzo, La Lana, Choapa, reported similar problems. Now, here I got a short list of what's been going on here. On March 4th, two recent evangelical converts, Roberto Antonio Martinez and Domingo Elevez Sanchez, were jailed for 36 hours and asked to deny their new faith. Then, on April 3rd, four evangelicals were imprisoned for 24 hours, including two previous victims, plus Cornelio Antonio Martinez, father of Roberto, and Simon Antonio Manzano, Roberto's mother, Cristina, wife of Cornelio, was fined 15,000 pesos, which is $1,600 for us, for damages to the town and authorities of this community for having made them work for questions regarding their evangelical roots. In other words, Cristina was fined for making them put people in jail, a local source explained. And then, the next one is six families, a total of 40 church members are affected by the hostility against evangelicals. Local authorities, all members of the local Catholic Church, have ordered that the electricity and drinking water be cut off to evangelicals and the evangelicals' houses and animals be burned. Alive, of course. Evangelicals have also been threatened with death unless they change their religion. And on May 19th, town authorities met to formally declare that evangelicals would be expelled unless they agreed to participate in all Catholic festivals. On May 3rd, two members of the Pentecostal Church were jailed for 48 hours for refusing to take part at the San Cruz celebration, said Presbyterian pastor and lawyer Abidas Tavala. Next article. This one's not quite as long, but it's more or less the same stuff. From Agape Press, it says, "Be a Catholic or face jail in Mexico. Evangelicals persecuted. June 5th, 2001 by Ellie Martin and Jim Brown." Local authorities in three small towns in different Mexican states are telling evangelical Christians to change their religion to traditional Catholicism or suffer severe consequences. Evangelical Christians who do not renounce their faith are being threatened with jail time, expulsion, the removal of public services such as water, drainage, and even death, and in the most two recent cases were jailed 36 hours and asked to deny their new evangelical faith. Now it goes on from here. It more or less repeated the previous article, but says, Terry Madison is president of Open Doors, a ministry which tracks the persecution of Christians. He says, this is not a new problem. This has been an ongoing challenge in Chiapas, where when people accept the Lord, they choose not to participate in some of the local Catholic celebrations, many of which involve posh, that's P-O-S-H, which is a locally fermented drink, Madison says. They choose not to participate, which means they're not buying the candles and the costumes and the fireworks and some of the other products that come of the local authorities' profit by, so there's an economic loss. Madison says, things are particularly bad for evangelical Christians in the state of Chiapas. A particular community has 230 evangelicals. We're talking about a large body of Christ, he says. Another had 40 Christian church members, and were challenged to renounce evangelical faith and return to Catholicism, or they would face having their homes burned and their animals destroyed. In another example of intolerance, the Alabama Baptist newspaper reports Catholic leaders in San Nicolas, Mexico, a town of some 4,000 people, are telling 36 evangelical families they must leave town within 90 days or be kicked out. The paper says the family's water and sewer service has been cut off. A San Nicolas News spokesman is quoted as saying, "What the town wants is for the evangelicals to stop spreading their religion to more people and stop having their meetings." Patrick Scully, a spokesman for the Catholic League, said he couldn't comment on the story because he was not aware of the details, and also since the persecution is taking place outside of the United States. We're talking about a cop out there. I don't have the other article here, but I do have it on the website about where it went a little bit further, about a month later, I believe, and they scared a family, brought them behind bars, and threatened them, of course, with death. And this little old lady, I think she was like in her 60s or 70s, did decide to renounce Christ and join the Catholic Church. They got one. Okay? The Roman Catholic Church has no plans on stopping the violence. These hollow words, like clouds without water, that we're speaking of in the two or three articles previously about not having hostilities, is just a farce. Especially if they can keep it out of the mainstream media, they don't have any intentions of stopping. And since we're in the last days and the majority of those working for the media are puppets of Satan in the first place, it's not a difficult task to prevent certain facts from being released to the general public anyway. You want to see how easy that is, for example? And it's kind of off topic, but it's easy to understand it when I explain it this way, how easy it is to the media to manipulate and how people just fall for it and how the government is just doing whatever they want. How many of us have seen the media coverage of the Pentagon situation on 911 when it got hit? And how many of us have seen the 16-foot hole that was made in the Pentagon by what the media says was a 747, Boeing 747 aircraft? Were you aware a 747 is 44 feet tall, 120 feet wide, and 144 feet long? Yet all we see in the Pentagon is a 16-foot hole. No dent in the ground. And to top it off, there was absolutely no debris or wreckage to be found anywhere of a Boeing 747 aircraft near, in, or around that Pentagon building. Yet all the media, the government officials, and the Vatican liars keep saying it was a Boeing 757 that hit that building. You know, what it seems to me is they know they are lying and they don't even care anymore. Their stories are so unbelievable that it seems to me that they are no longer trying to hide the facts. It's like it looks like they're saying, you know, I can lie and I can do whatever I want. You can't stop me. I'm too big now. That's what it looks like. Some punk and a little bully in your schoolyard. So yes, it is an easy task for Rome to kill, to maim, to torture people in this modern day. And odds are the people of this world will never be told the truth about where their loved ones ended up. Rome will continue to kill. In fact, they're being sued right now for what they did or what they helped Hitler do. I got the Vatican lawsuit situation going on, the current events on my website. I believe it's in the miscellaneous section. It's also on my links page, too. I linked it out from there as well. It's an internal link, but still. You know, they're going to continue to kill. In fact, they have put it in writing that they have no intentions whatsoever of stopping their terrorist activity. From the Western Watchman again, December 24th, 1908, the Catholic Church has persecuted, it says. When she thinks it is good to use physical force, she will use it. Will the Catholic Church give bonds that she will not persecute? The Catholic Church gives no bonds for her good behavior. That reminds me of John 16, verses 2 and 3 all over again. They'll kick you out of the synagogues and thinking they're doing God a service. They'll kill you and thinking they're doing God a service. And then Jesus says it's because they don't know me or the Father. The Catholic Church calls this good behavior. Out of the Catholic Church, the Renaissance and Protestantism, on page 182-83, it says, the rector of the Catholic Institute of Paris, H.M.A. Baldurat, revealed the attitude of the Church and her leaders towards persecution. When confronted with heresy, and by the way, in the Pope's Mea Culpa of March 12, 2000, he called those of us that are not Catholics heretics. So, continuing the article, he goes, when confronted with heresy, he said, she does not contend herself with persuasion. Arguments of an intellectual and moral order appear to her insufficient. And she has recourse to force, to corporal punishment, and to torture. How can you trust a church like this? This church has admitted to burning people at the stake, boiling them to death in oil, burying them alive, hanging them upside down from trees by one leg until they starved or literally split in two, drawn and quartered people, skinned them alive, impaled people on poles, beheaded people, crushed people to death, and countless other atrocities. This list is truly as gruesome as it is endless. Yet because of the temporary and fleeting power of their god Satan, this church is accepted the world over as the representative of Christ on earth. How can this be? I mean, do people forget simply because it happened yesterday? Or is this because they fear the same fate? Well, sad fact is, force will make people believe whatever you want them to believe. Need I remind you of how Nebuchadnezzar was able to ensure idol worship by the masses in his day in Daniel chapter 2? Or rather 3? You threaten the lives of people with horrid and frightful deaths like burning in fire, and you'll get literally billions flocking to your doorstep to worship you as you suggest. I mean, have we all forgotten about how the people clamored up to Saddam Hussein to kiss him and say wonderful words to him? They all knew he was a mass murderer, yet they licked his boots merely because they didn't want to die in the meat grinders his sons set up. At least that's what I heard. Just over 1 year ago, or better yet, this is actually 4 years ago, 3 years ago, a radio announcer was gunned down because of his words regarding this evil organization in Rome. Yet everyone seems to look the other way again. Is it because they too fear to be gunned down? Headline: radio announcer who criticized Catholic station in Costa Rica killed in ambush. The Associated Press reporting, July 8, 2001. A popular radio host known for his caustic humor and unflinching criticism of public officials was shot and killed outside his house just days after he complained of receiving threats. Parmenio Medino Perez was shot 3 times at close range Saturday, about 300 feet from his home in Heredia, 6 miles outside the capital. Unbelievable. We'll get into a little bit more of this later on after the break. Stay tuned, please. Welcome back, everybody. The phone number is 800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance, please use 559-733-5161. If you are a regular to the audio chat rooms, the public room, well, the servers are kind of messed up right now, so you'll have to go to the Daniel and Revelation room. I want to thank everybody for showing up that are in there now. There are a few folks in there now, and I thank you for being there. Getting back to what we were talking about a minute ago here, that radio announcer who was killed, one of Medina's, I mean, the guy's name was, what was his name, Parmenio Medina Perez, one of his most recent targets was the Vatican broadcast Radio Maria, which was run by a priest by the name of Minor De Jesus, or De Jesus Calvo or whatever. Medina accused the station of financial irregularities, and it was later taken off the air. So in the wake of his public criticism of the station, Medina received numerous threats, including in May, when an unknown assailant opened fire at his house in a drive-by shooting, and they missed him. But later on, they came back and they got him. You know, insane, open-eyed reality. It's always the same process with this church. When someone has proof against them regarding the evils of their teachings and methods, they do not do as the Christian does. They do not turn the other cheek by any means. They do not open their Bibles to try and evangelize truth to the ones speaking against them in the hopes of converting them. Instead, they lash out with hatred, name-calling, slander, threats, and yes, even murder. Is this the fate of fellow troublers of Catholicism in and across this nation or around the world? Will they be the next because they preach the three angels' message exposing this vat of sin in Rome? Headline, Antichrist billboard sparks Catholic Church uproar. Agape Press reporting, the nation's largest Catholic civil rights organization is criticizing an Oregon advertising company which recently accepted a billboard proclaiming the Pope as the Antichrist. The billboard sparking the controversy reads, "The Pope is the Antichrist, free proof," and offers a website for more information. Weathers, which is Larry Weathers, is the one that put up the poster, or the billboard, says, has been flooded with reaction, both negative and positive, since an editorial published this week in the Catholic Sentinel urged the public to call for the sign's removal. The Portland-based publication bills itself as the oldest Catholic newspaper on the West Coast. It's just about 50-50, Weathers says, of the nature of the calls. Many people tell me what my mother is for bringing me into this world. The message is sponsored by Larry Weathers, a 50-year-old barber from Talent, Oregon, who says he will not take the sign down, despite several threats on his life. Weathers is a member, the article says that Weathers is a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Remnant Ministries. This man had the billboard up for about a year, okay? And it wasn't until the Catholic Sentinel urged the public to call for the sign's removal that Larry Weathers reported the death threats started to occur. The sad and obvious thing here is this. It wasn't until the Roman Catholic bishop came into town to visit the churches and then suggested to the Sentinel and certain things, as well as to some of his loyal Catholics, that they sprang into action. This is now historic fact. Directly after that bishop made his statement, Larry Weathers started to receive death threats. Think about this. Soon, Rome will suggest to the loyal Catholics. Not all Catholics are like this, folks, okay? Not all of them. But we're talking about 1.2 billion people. And when you got a religion that's based on being saved in your sins rather than from your sins, they're doing whatever they want. And this includes everything from alcohol to sex. And so they're no way, in any way, shape, or form walking with Christ. And so some of them are going to go so far as with these death threats. So soon Rome is going to suggest to some of these loyal people to the world over that we, the remnant of God, will need to be converted or killed. Seeing how they have no problem getting people to do this already, even before the time of Jacob's trouble, imagine how easy it's going to be for them after that time begins. That is what Rome has to offer in a nutshell, if you think about it. Loyal Catholics that will do whatever the Pope suggests. They have done it in the past, and prophecy states that they will do it in the future, and it's usually the civil authorities. If you look back in the past, you'll see how the Vatican would have the local police or the sheriff or whatever, or even some of the priests and the cardinals. But usually they wouldn't, when the priests and the cardinals got involved in tortures and killings, they would do it in the dungeons behind closed doors where no one would see it. But when they would have the governing officials do it, they would do it out into the Times Square or whatever. And I've got plenty of information in regards to this on the website at www.remnantofgod.org. Now, I can go on and on and on about what I have seen in my own life regarding this and how I hope to do just that one day is, you know, share my testimony. It's kind of involved. But I pray often for the chance to be able to put it in writing so that all it's, you know, that I have seen over the years can be shared. I have bits and pieces of it on the website, but not all of it's there. Almost 20 years ago, I left the Roman Catholic Church, and I must say, I've seen a barrage of attacks, even from family members, against me and mine. My own children have seen it, because Daddy's doing what he's doing. Most of my kids are grown up now, so, but still, the Catholic Church literally teaches in such a way that eventually forces their own parishioners to lash out against those that use a Bible to try and share the gospel with them. These people can't see the love that we have for them sometimes. This is why we got to be extra careful, extra gentle. But still, it's not going to matter with some. And again, I'm not saying all the Catholics are like that. If they were, I wouldn't be wasting my time. You know, I've been doing this 20 years. I used to be Catholic. I know. I mean, the Church never suggests using a Bible to combat us heretics, as we are called. They never teach them to gently portray Jesus onto those and that want to use a Bible to preach peace onto them. It's like I said earlier, I have been doing this almost 20 years since I left the Church, and I have only met two, maybe three Catholics that showed a genuine Christian concern that I may be wrong about the Vatican. I mean, I wasn't able to, you know, convince them, but, I mean, I've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people come out of that church, but what I'm saying is, usually they come at you with hate. I remember when they used to approach me when I was a Catholic. I remember, you know, threatening a guy, telling him, hey, you know, you keep on telling me I'm going to hell because I'm a Catholic and I baptized my babies. He says, you know, how would you like to see your God now? I never forget that. It was in our, you know, we were living in an apartment at the time, and there was this park in the back, and these guys were going around giving candy bars to the kids. My kids run in and said, Daddy, Daddy, these guys are handing out candy bars. And this is around the time that you had all these child abductions and stuff going on. And so I was out there in a flash. I confronted them. And I knew right when I looked at them, there were a bunch of, you know, preachers. White shirts, black ties, all 9 yards. And then we just got into it. But if you, you know, with these three or two or three Catholics that I have run across over the years, I mean, they tried to share in a loving way with me how they felt I was wrong, but still, like all the rest of their brethren, they never opened the Bible to prove truth to me at all. So this is the thing. This is a confusing thing, as a matter of fact, and this is why I usually use prophecy, because they are taught not to use that Bible in any evangelistic tactic or manner. And so I do use prophecy, because it has a tendency to open people's eyes, if you think about it. If you show them something in the Bible that's supposed to happen, especially if you find something in the Bible that's supposed to happen in a specific year, you know, before the end times began, we had a bunch of dated prophecies, Daniel chapter 8 and 9. The angel even told Daniel the year it was going to start, when King Artaxerxes said it was okay to rebuild Jerusalem. And you got all those prophecies in that 2,300 years. And when you start showing people, look, this is supposed to happen in this year, that's supposed to happen in that year, this is supposed to happen in that year, and now let's open up a history book. That opens eyes. And I praise the Lord for that. And then they decide, okay, maybe we should be reading this Bible. That's what got me out of Rome. I was in there 29 years. I was a Eucharistic minister. I went to Mass every morning. I said a rosary every day. And I even taught CCD for this church. But it wasn't until I opened up a Bible that I realized I was in danger. But still, you're outside of Rome. You're trying to share with them. And so often the case I hear, they would smile at me and say, sir, you're not a priest. Therefore, you have not the ability to tell me what's in that book. Even though Timothy understood the scriptures from his youth, that was able to teach him. But when a Bible student asks them what the book says, they either refuse to say what they think it says or means. And this is when the Bible student asks a priest. The priest will either refuse to tell you what it means, or he'll fumble and triple over his own words and then just bite through his teeth. Because I've seen it. I know it. I've done it. I've asked those questions. Force has always been the method of Babylon. You know, this reminds me of a few websites the Vatican had shut down recently because they were unbiblically defined as blasphemy. This is from the Vatican newspaper again, Zenit Organization. Headline, 5 blasphemous web pages shut down. A denunciation of Lei Ostervera Romano, I probably massacred that word, helped lead to the shutdown of 5 blasphemous web pages. The Vatican's semi-official newspaper reported the news itself today. The paper in October 2000 had denounced an internet site that blasphemed the Blessed Virgin Mary. It goes on to talking about some other guys that was doing some things with T-shirts and how that man was reported too. But I'm sure, and I'm not sure what these websites had on them, nor do I care, because they got them off the internet before I could check them out. So, you know, what really confuses me, how do you blaspheme a human being? I mean, this I'd like to know. Mary's human, right? Biblically speaking, blasphemy is only directed towards God. And as many have seen, the Vatican biblically blasphemes the Lord daily. If you want proof, just go on my website. In the warning section of the website, I got a Words of a Beast page. That page grows, and it just keeps growing and growing. You know, perhaps someone needs to sue the Vatican. to not only shut its blasphemous website down, which, by the way, can be proven blasphemous by simply using a Bible, not just by hearing some cardinal say it's blasphemous. You can have a person with a Bible proving it's blasphemous. See, they didn't have anything to back their stories other than their word against his. The Vatican should also close all the churches as well because of their blasphemous ways. We all have the biblical proof we need to prove, prove that the Vatican blasphemes daily in their churches as well as on their website. All you got to go to John chapter 10, verse 33, or Mark chapter 2, verse 7. There's the two main definitions for blasphemy all over the Vatican, all over every one of their churches. John 10, 33, or Mark 2, 7. Write it down. Are there any lawyers out there up for the challenge? I've already approached one that is suing the Vatican for war crimes, but, of course, they're a little bit busy right now. So I'll ask again, are there any lawyers out there that will help do to the Vatican what it did to others using their exact same reasons for doing so? If so, contact me through the website. And by the way, does this not further prove the Vatican looks at Mary as a god? You can only blaspheme God, right? And they claim the websites were blaspheming Mary. It's not hard to realize what's up here. Can we use the same legal strategies to have at least the Vatican website shut down? I mean, would this not be fair? Why not? I mean, they shut down this guy for blasphemy. Or five of them actually were shut down. Why not? Well, because the Vatican uses terrorist tactics to force people into doing as they wish. If you try it, you will no doubt see an attack of biblical proportions. Still, the word does say, in fact, in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness of me, saith the Lord. So either have fear, which God has not given you in the first place, or do what you're called to do. Fact is, they are still using force to get people to convert, as we see in Mexico. And now, it seems Mother Russia isn't too fond of Mother Rome and her religious crusades lately either. Headline, Russian Church accuses Vatican of forced conversions. This is from the AFP. The Russian Orthodox criticized the Roman Catholic Church on Friday for allegedly attempting to convert young Russians, including orphans. Vatican forces think they have to transform Russia into a Catholic country to increase their influence in the world. Orthodox spokesman Chaplin told journalists claiming, however, that the conversion rate was poor. Orthodox priest Alexander Ambrov also criticized the Catholic Church, accusing it of trying to manipulate children and orphans. And that's usually where they go. I remember, I don't have the exact facts on this, but I remember some of the kids that ended up being orphans because of what Hitler was instructed to do by the Vatican to their parents. And some of these poor little Jewish children were brought into the Vatican and raised Catholic. The ultimate attack. They kill your parents, and then they take your children and raise them Catholic. I mean, come on, what's worse? Sexual molestation or spiritual molestation? It's amazing to me how those of us that preach present truth can be tagged Catholic bashers for trying to share prophetic truth with them. It's amazing how people in Mexico can be forced into denying Christ, or death threats are used to try and remove a billboard, or how this church can pressure radio stations to try and shut up the present truth, the present truth for our day, or how radio announcers can actually be gunned down in front of their own homes. We are ridiculed, attacked, threatened, and even killed. We experience financial attacks, private property destroyed, and multiple crafty attacks designed to slow us down and shut us up. All this for simply trying to share with Catholics the truth held in Scripture, especially prophetic truths. I mean, have we become your enemy because we tell you the truth? You know what is really amazing? They actually expect me and others like me to stop. Go to the website in the newsletter section. The newsletter archives. There is a page where I was offered $6 million to shut down. I thought it was a hoax until I had it authenticated. Download it. You can download it right from the site. Read it. 38 pages, I think it is. Now, they expect others to do as they say. Yet they are able to do as they please. Is that fair? Has the Vatican ever played fair, though? Will the true terrorist please stand up? In his book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, former Catholic priest Charles Chenique had this to say about the Jesuits. The Jesuits are a military organization, not a religious order. Their chief is the general of an army, not the mere father abbot of a monastery. And the aim of this organization is power. Power in the most despotic exercise, absolute power, universal power, power to control the world by the volition or will of a single man. Jesuitism is the most absolute of despotisms, which is dictatorship. And at the same time, the greatest and most enormous of abuses, the most monstrous hurt, injury, and damage. The general of the Jesuits insists on being master, sovereign over the sovereign. Wherever the Jesuits are admitted, they will be masters, cost what it may. Their society is by nature dictatorial, sorry, and therefore it is the irreconcilable enemy of all constituted authority. Every act, every crime, however atrocious, is a meritorious work if committed for the interests of the Society of the Jesuits or by the order of its general. That's on page 174 in the book 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Charles and Chiniquy. You know, it's bad enough. People stay in this church even though we have documented historic facts linking the Vatican with world wars and smaller wars that killed countless numbers. There's evidence arising right now that the Korean War in Vietnam was generated by the Vatican because those people would not leave Buddha for Catholicism. And it's bad enough people stay in the church even though the Vatican stepped forward in March of 2000 to admit they killed over 500 million people during the Dark Ages, according to the Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's bad enough to stay in this church even though their own catechism proves it's not a Christian church. I used to teach from that book. I did research. I counted the verses used in that book. I counted the pages. I counted the questions. And I counted the answers. 86.2% of their doctrines will not be found in Scripture. There's no Scripture to back them up. 86.2%. But what really saddens my heart is that this vile terrorist in Rome has spread its terror to the very own Catholic families. Think of all those little boys out there that they have terrorized while molesting and raping them. That in itself is the ultimate terror. One could actually write a book on the terror of molestation, and it would be enough to prove the Vatican is a terrorist organization, not to mention the nuns and how they terrorize children under their care. But anyway, got a call on the line from Randy from Kentucky. How you doing, brother?
Hi, Nicholas.
How you doing this week?
Very well, thank you.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the program.
I haven't called in for a while. I thought I'd call in and tell everybody what a wonderful job you're doing and what a godsend this radio show is.
Well, thank you, brother. I see you made it into the chat room there, too, because, you know, that server... I'm glad everybody found out about it. I couldn't change anything on the website to let people know about it because I can't FTP up either. But
I was trying to figure out how to get a hold of you and tell you about it. But,
yeah.
We found out.
Can't call me right now.
Thanks for announcing it.
Yeah.
But what you were talking about, I'd like to add that I was thinking about three scriptures coming to mind about what you're talking about the papacy and Roman Catholic Church. Talking about the Bible being an antiquated book,
mm-hmm.
Not going by it.
Or a dead letter.
You know, they deliberately do that because they want to ignore, you know, that they're implicated in Bible prophecy, actually.
Yeah, and that's why you have the Council of Valencia in the year 1229 A.D., when they put the Bible on the Index of Forbidden Books, because they knew.
Right. John chapter 14, verse 29.
Yeah.
Says it pretty much. He says, and now I have told you before it come to pass that when it come to pass you might believe.
Yeah, and that does help a lot of people because that's a nice thing about prophecy. A lot of people don't, sometimes it's a little difficult to pick on or pick up the prophecy until after the event has occurred.
Amen. And another one, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is
profitable for doctrine, yeah.
God, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what the papacy does. They make, in Mark chapter 7, verse 13, making the word of God of none effect.
Yeah.
Your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. Just like the Pharisees of Jesus' day.
Exactly. They're doing the exact same thing. They even wear the same type of robes and stuff, because they overdid it a little bit back in them days, too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the main reasons the Catholic Church put on the robes from the pagan to try and outdo the Pharisees in that.
But, God bless you, this radio show, and I hope and pray this thing lasts until his coming, for sure.
Me too, brother. Me too.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thanks again. Thanks for calling, Randy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it. Those are three powerful verses. Man, I got to tell you, John 14:29 happens to be one of my favorites that I have on the website in quite a few places because it is such a blessing with when prophetic events. See, this is what one good thing about living in the last days. We've got history behind us. We can investigate this stuff now. We can see, that's the reason you got so many different Bibles out there now. That's why you got the NIV, the NASB, the RSV, the Dewey Rheims, all these different Bibles out there now, because they know we're in a heap of trouble now. Think about it. If you got a King James in your hand that hasn't been altered, you got a King James in your hand and then you got a history book, and then you don't do like so many do. They try to give their own opinion or their own interpretation of what a prophetic event or a prophetic symbol means. But 2 Peter plainly says that no prophecy is of any private interpretation. In other words, you can't tell me what you think it means. Revelation has 404 verses in it. Out of those 404 verses, 278 of them are found word for word in almost all the other in all the other books of the Bible. And so we know what those symbols mean just by going into the Bible and finding them. And then you can see, this is what gets you out of there. I have yet to see an honest person in Roman Catholicism or any other religion who honestly opens the Bible, the King James Bible, not one that's, you know, a King James, opens that Bible up and then starts to investigate the prophecies in there. I've yet to see any of them that I've tried this on, that I've shared this thing with. I've yet to see any of them actually go back into those churches. They've all left. That honestly did it. Didn't just yank your chain or start, you know, giving you lip service saying, oh, yeah, I'll check it out. Yeah, definitely. No, these people were honest. And I have yet to see any of them go back in to those churches once they see the truth. And this is one of the reasons, like what Randy was saying, the Catholic Church wants to keep you out of the Bible. No matter how much doctrine of that Bible you're going to do, it's sooner or later something's going to pop up in your face. I found Jesus using a Dewey Rheims. I was using a corrupted Roman Catholic Bible that had hundreds of verses rewritten and reorganized. But yet I still was able to find I was in danger. I was in the wrong church. And then I grab a King James and says, whoa. You know? Sure, it's a little difficult to read with the these and the thous, but pray before you read it. That's all you got to do. In closing, this church is designed to terrorize, period. History has proven this, and modern-day events have confirmed this church has never changed. The blood-curdling oath of the Roman Catholic Jesuit priest is all some Catholics need to see to have their eyes opened. If you want to share this blood oath of the Jesuit with your friends, just go to my RCC Exposed section of my website and click on the words Jesuit Oath. And then scroll down if you want to get right to the thick of it, to the red chapter about how they would rip women's children from their wombs and smash their heads against the walls because they're not Catholics. Illustrate unto them that this church is, in fact, a church that glorifies the dead, as did the Egyptians and the pagans. Everywhere you look in this church, you see dead saints depicted in statues with kneelers placed before them so you can pray to the dead. Like terrorists in modern day, Rome has an unhealthy love affair with death. Look in the basements of their cathedrals, and you'll find caskets of bishops and cardinals with kneelers before them as well. The popes themselves are placed in caskets in the Vatican basement. They even have statues on top of the caskets depicting the popes in the sleep of death. And there's kneelers right next to them. Rome's the true terrorist, folks, regardless of the fact that the Bible says in Luke 3:14, do violence to no man. Thank you for listening. Stop by the website for all I shared here and more. remnantofgod.org. Thanks go out to First Amendment Radio for allowing the present truth to be broadcast freely. Please catch the rebroadcast of this show on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Central Time. See you next time, everybody. God bless.